that good news. Sometimes we change. Ben's changed this morning. He's got a glass. He's very intelligent that way.
It didn't make any difference. I still got it wrong.
I gave you a compliment. Praise God.
Thank you.
You know, one of the wonders of the anointing of God is happiness, is joy, is laughter. And, you know, laughter is like a medicine. It works. It heals. So why don't we all start laughing this morning? Okay. Can you do a little bit better than that? Ginevra, would you like to come up here and lead us in laughing, please? No. There she goes.
If anyone could, she could.
Praise God. Amen. Father, this morning we just want to thank you for the presence that never leaves us nor forsakes us, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. We thank you this morning, Father, for the word that goes forth, Lord Jesus, that will not return void, but will accomplish that which you sent it out to accomplish. And we ask it in Jesus' name, that for strength and for each of us, Lord God, to take a hold of that word and act on it, besides just hearing it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints said, amen. Does this sound different this morning? That's all right? Okay. Okay. All righty. Well, I've got a message this morning. It's entitled Lessons from Four Ancient Lepers. Now, who could learn from ancient lepers, man? Any one of us could learn from that and from these guys, because it's in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will enlighten us. Every time you read it, I've gone over this story a lot. I've preached on it a lot. But there's always something that we can look at that just gives it a different facet of wisdom and understanding that we can apply to each of our lives. This is a true story. It happened a long time ago. It's an ancient story that has to do with four ancient lepers that really lived. The message is also of great significance, even though it's only about a chapter, half a chapter long, thereabouts, in 2 Kings. We'll look at that in a second. But even today, there's a great significance and a great impact when people read the story, or they hear it preached, or they hear it taught from someone, or they're trying to learn things from the Word of God, and they read it, and the Holy Spirit begins to show them things. There's a great significance and impact that it makes on each of our lives. And it makes an impact even on our generation, from all the generations back when it happened all the way to where we are this morning. This will still have an impact on our lives. And the story starts where the city of Israel was under siege. And there were these four lepers who were just outside of the gate because they were lepers. And let's take a read of it. Thank you. That doesn't work. Huh. I'll read it from the book. Oh, okay. Now there were chapter 7 and verse beginning with verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord God would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" He questioned. And you'll find out after what happened to him. And he said, "In fact, you shall not see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." And that came to pass in the latter part of this chapter. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die?" That's a big question. They asked the question, but, you know, we can ask that same question today, and it needs an answer. It needs action. If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if, all these ifs are starting to come up, and if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we'll only die. That's not much. And so they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. Now, this is a major army that was seated there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, a noise of a great army, so they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight. They left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives under the whim of the Lord's doing. And so when the leopards came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, and they ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Now, verse 9 is interesting because it's one of the points I'm going to bring out later. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right." They had all of this they were doing and all that was before them. And they said, "We're not doing right. This day is a good day of good news. We remain silent. And we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, let us also go and tell the king's household." And that's what they did. The rest is a different story I'll not get into, another section of the story. But what I want us to look at are some of these things that pertain, some of these points to this whole story. It's an amazing story. It's a fascinating story. Lepers, I think most of us know, it was a dreaded disease. It's still in the world today, but not as prevalent, but it's still here. And they were the lowest people in their society. They weren't allowed inside the city because of the contagious disease that they had. Now, these four lepers, they had a predicament. And the predicament was that they were outside the city's gate. They were between the enemy. It's all getting better, isn't it? And they were in the midst of a famine. Have you been there before? You have one day, there's a pile on of all these things that happen to you, and the next day you think, "Oh, Lord," and you pray, and you think you're going to be over it. And the next day, there's another avalanche of things that happen. And the next day, there's another avalanche of things. Sometimes it goes on for a whole week or weeks. And you think, "My God, where's the answer? How do you get out of here?" Well, these four lepers, what they did was the first smartest thing. They got together and they began to have a heart-to-heart chat. And, they may have had sick bodies, and they may have been rebuked out of society, but they had good brains. And they had a heart that they were looking for answers. And God will not overlook that. It involves a question. The ifs always involve a question. Do you have any ifs in your life today? Do you have those places like you feel like you're outside the city gate, you're between the enemy and in the midst of a famine of some type, and there's just no answer to any of it, but you're at a particular spot where you are? Just be quiet. Just rest in the Lord. And even if you're by yourself, you're never alone. But it's always good to surround yourself with one or two people that you can trust and begin to talk things out. The problem with many people today is we don't like to share things. We don't like to show our tears. We don't like to show that we are, have a heart that's being broken. There's pressure on us that's enough to crush us. We don't like to share that stuff with people. But when you do, something happens. And these guys, they begin to share their the same things that they were going through. So, and if it involves a question, to look at an unknown factor or an option. Of the two choices that they had, it requires them, it will require them to make a decision for only one of the two choices. But there's no return ticket. Have you been there before? You have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. You look at the options. There's only one or two, maybe three, maybe more, but you have to make a choice. And with that choice that you make, there's no guarantee of coming back to start all over again. So you better make sure that the choice you make is the right one. Who's going to help you with the right one? God is always, always, always there. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the first one. God will never leave us nor forsake us. So you're not by yourself. Even if at the time you're looking for answers, there's no one directly around you. And verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? One of the main things that people fear today, we have a fear of what man can do to us. What man, how men can use a law against us, twisted. How what man can do to try to put pressure on us, to cause us to bend and do things their way when it's really not the way that God wants us to go. And we know that it's not the right way to go because there's pressure. Whether it's in a relationship in the family, whether it's a relationship in the church, whether it's whatever the situations are, if it's in business or in school or whatever, you know, there are choices that we have to make, and there's a decision that we have to realize, and only God has the right answer for us. But I love what Psalm 23 says. It gets better all the time when you read the Bible. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 5. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and I'm not just talking about in grassy areas, but even in the midst of all that you're going through, he causes me to lie down and get sleep. He takes the pressure off my brain. He takes the responsibilities of looking at all the things that are floating around in my head that I just can't, they're too awesome. They're too heavy for my shoulders. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, that's a promise. Praise God. Do you need that this morning? Do you need that promise this morning? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And doesn't it feel sometimes when you're going through something, it's like you're going through a valley of the shadow of death? There's just, that's it, man. There's mountains on either side. I'm in the valley. If there's an avalanche that's coming, I've got no answers. But who made the mountains? And who caused the valleys to be the valleys? God created all things. I will fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For you, God, are with me. Adonai Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as faithful as he was to them, he is with us. Your rod and your staff, your word and your anointing, they comfort me. But I like the next verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Do you need a table set before you this morning? God is already setting it. You just need to look at it. You just need to know that God is working on your behalf for whatever you're going through this morning. Whatever the pressures are, if it's from man, if it's from circumstances, if it's from the devil, maybe you've made mistakes, it doesn't make any difference. God is faithful to to continue loving us and to love me, to love you on a personal level without that love ever changing. That's the beauty about parents. You know, they do something in the house and they get aggravated and they slam the door, and or they do something that is just not kosher, and they know it's wrong, and they just want to sort of like make dad and mom feel like, yeah. But there's something about a mom and a dad, because there's a love attachment there that never stops. And we're made in God's image, so we have to realize that his love for us never stops. Is that they'll always go, if they're good parents, they'll always go to that child. No matter what they've done, no matter if they're poopy pants when they get there, they will take that child and make that child know that they love them. And nothing's changed. That's God with us. Sometimes we can get so far down the road and it just seems like, you know, God's not going to want to hold me in his arms and talk to me and do something for me with poopy pants, me? I've made too many mistakes. I've gone too far this direction. I've done this and I've done that, but people have done this, and whatever the circumstances are. Friends, we are the children of God. That's what the Word of God says. What is 70, 80, 90, 120 years to God when he is Ancient of Days and there is no beginning and there is no end? We're children. And he loves us as his children. That never changes. So he will prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies, just as he did with these men so long ago. If you look at these guys, you know, they made a courageous decision. They decided that, okay, if we stay here, we're going to die. So that's one choice. And if we go and we go to the army's camp, we may die. But then we might live. That's not easy, man. But you know something? They employed their faith in God. Their trust was in God. They did not fear man. Because they says, we'll only die. What can man do to us? We'll only die. So if you could look at this, they made a courageous decision and they began to hobble to the enemy's camp. To their surprise, God had already been there. I mean, look at, I'm old enough now, and for the years I've been walking with Jesus, but no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, you can be a teenager or a young person today, and if God has done something for you, you don't forget it. Who here, you don't have to raise your hands, who here has ever gotten to a place where God has already been there and has already taken care of it? With loving arms. Whew. Man, these guys, they're thinking, well, what is going on here? You got to put yourself in yourself in their positions. Four lepers, bad bodies, disease, a choice that was just being unfolded before them. So they get to this place and they're expecting to possibly die. And they get to this place and God has done a miraculous work, where he caused a great noise of like another army was there, and they all ran off holding their skirts. God did it. He honored their faith. He honored their choice. You may be here this morning, and you're at that point. You're at outside the gate this morning. And the one talking to you, in some of the things that we're facing right now, we're outside the gate. And there is an enemy that's behind us. And there is a gate in front of us where we cannot go in. And there's famine of whatever type it may be. I got to put my faith in God, because every day of my life when I look back, every day, God has always taken care of me, even when I didn't deserve it. And there's not a person in this room that can say otherwise, because whatever we've done and we've done things that missed the mark, God forgave us. And God took us back up in his lap and just loved us like his kids and did something about the mess and the things that we were facing. Sometimes it's not easy when you're having to be at that point where you have to make a decision. And that's why, like, it's good to talk things out. In a family unit, children, talk to your mom. And I know talk to your mom and dad. And dad and mom, talk to your kids. Let them know you're praying for them. And as a core, always know that, you know, you've got someone that's always listening to you and will never leave you nor forsake you. So God turns up. He does all these wonderful things. And the fascinating thing about this story is, and this is a true story, that the lepers were the most unlikely heroes. Were you looking at my hand? Look at yours too. The most unlikely heroes. One day when we're called up and we start walking down the streets of gold and the angels begin to look, are these the ones? Are these the ones that Jesus died for, that have received his salvation? And we'll walk down those streets with the righteousness of Almighty God cloaked over us in the anointing of Almighty God in new bodies. With an everlasting spirit, with everlasting bodies. See, Satan doesn't want us to get to that point. He wants us to forget the little details, but the really big details. God has everything under control, and he picks the most unusual. Well, just look at yourself. You're unusual. Now, when I say that, everybody's thinking, well, he's calling me ugly, or he's calling me freak or something. No, you're just unusual. I don't look like you. You don't look like me. Praise God. Shirley Farquhar, what are you laughing at? Oh, my goodness. They had the opportunity to save their city because they acted on what God had called them to do. Says a lot, man. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, I'll put this down. I'll read it to you. Without faith, and you probably know this by heart, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, notice the word diligently, it's not once in a while, it's not in and out, ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy, it's not maybe today I'm just going to let that go because I need to do something else. In every day, in every decision, be diligent to seek God. Because Satan's waiting right around the corner. What may not look like anything at all, and I'll use this as an example. There are people that have gone just on a hike, and their whole day was changed, their whole life was changed for some unknown reason, whatever happened to them. Whatever the circumstances are with other people. Keep close to God. Keep on seeking God with diligence. Just like you go to the fridge with diligence. And then you go weightlift and exercise with diligence for one day. Isn't that right, Stuart? One day, that's all it takes, man, for getting muscles. From a six-pack to a keg. Just takes one day. Okay, let's move on. Because there are a few people who have kegs in here. All right. There's five basic lessons that I'm going to read and share with you this morning. They're very simple. They're very quick. But I will quit after this. These five. There's only this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No. First lesson that we have to learn is purpose. What can we learn from the story? Purpose. They had to ask themselves, why am I still alive? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what you've gone through, why am I still alive? How am I able to do it exactly what I'm doing right now? There's a purpose. God doesn't let anything happen without a purpose that's involved. Whether Satan tries to throw a clanger on you, God will use that, turn it around, make it with his purpose to do what he's already decided to do. Point A, not point B. Point A. Amen. So there's a reason why and there's a purpose why God spared these men. Why did he spare these men? To cause the city to be retrieved from all that was taken from them. The king found out there's a lot more to the story. It's a fascinating story. It doesn't all go the same way that we think it's going to go, but nevertheless, it does happen, and they saved the city. So each of these questions, you know, we have to ask this. Why am I still here? There's a purpose why I'm here. Motivations, number two. What the motivation is to do what God has called us to do, what God has called you to do. Some people's motivations are they're motivated to gain acceptance. They're motivated to gain approval, recognition. But is that all there is with motivation? That's not a very good motivation. I mean, it takes motivation to get those things. But if we're only motivating ourselves to get ahead and to get approval, recognition, and all these different things from people and circumstances, well, what does that have to do when something happens to you? Nothing. Our prime motivation, again, is to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Be diligent to please him. Number three, resources. Why do I have what I have? These guys were asking themselves. They had nothing, not even a place to stay except outside the gate because they were lepers. So why do I have what I have? Did you ever ask yourself that question? Well, Pastor, I can't even pay my bills. Do you realize that where you live in the country that you live, you are in the 99% bracket of the richest people in the world? Your bills will get paid. If the government doesn't do it, God for sure is going to do it. He'll see through all these things. It'll cause those things to come your way, whatever you need. So what should I do with what I have? These men were smart. These men had a heart. What should I do with what I have? Knowing this is that God is the source of all things in our lives. Very basic principles this morning. But sometimes God will let you get to a point in your life that with all you've had and it was taken away, or all that you do have and there's something that is ready to suck it all away, he'll get you to a point that you have to look up and say, no matter what is out there, God is my source for all things. Settled. It's settled in heaven. God put his fingerprint on it. God wrote it in blood through Jesus Christ. It's done. It's settled in heaven. My resources, whatever I have, God has given me it all. Even to start off when I was a little baby. God is the source of all things. God gives to us. Why? So we can give to others. It's one thing to receive, and you see people like this. There are people around the world today like that. They keep on getting and searching for getting things and getting more money and building up the bank accounts and getting more homes. And nothing wrong with buying properties and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. But they're looking to fill the coffers without any thinking about God, who gave them that stuff anyways. Why is it there? I find it so marvelous to give to someone. Share that story, and I'll share it again, because it's just part of my life. I think about it quite often. When I was 12 years old, out at this little restaurant in Niagara Falls, downtown Niagara Falls, and got a submarine, two little kids, brother and sister, sitting next to Eric, my friend, and myself. We got ours, and they're just sitting there, and I sort of looked over, and I could not eat. And then Eric could not eat until we gave him half our submarines, sandwiches. We have to give. God gives us stuff to bless others, even if it's as simple as giving it as a child to another kid that doesn't have anything. Praise God. So what about the other lesson we need to see here that we can learn from this passage has to do with friends. Who is going with me? You see, when we look at these fellas, they were four lepers. They didn't have a very good lifestyle or quality of life, but they were friends. Maybe they didn't start out as friends, but they became friends. Maybe one smelled worse than the other, but they became friends. Maybe one looked worse than the other, but they became friends. And in being friends, when it came to the crux of this, what happened with them, just before they got into that city, they began to talk with each other. They were surrounded with each other's counsel. Let's talk about these things. Undoubtedly, there might have been a couple, maybe one, that might have disagreed. That always happens. But in the long run, the light goes on, and they all made a run for the way they had to go, and that was to go to the enemy. They all agreed to do that. And we can see in our lives that, you know, if you surround yourself with good friends or a friend or two, whatever it is, it's important because they will help to determine whether you get to your destination or not, because they love you with a heart that will seek and go with you through what you're going through. And they'll try to give you the best information, and if they're Christians especially, they give you the best information according to the Word of God, because they want to see you where you have to go. Your destination is at stake. They want to see you make it. Praise God. So as these four lepers, the same with them, we must choose and make decisions to get wise friends. Friends we can trust. Friends that we've built a relationship with over time that we can trust. And not living out of their pockets all the time, but trusting. This back and forth. When we have times that we have a need, that we need to say something, or vice versa, we're talking about things to help each other to choose to do the right thing. We especially have to make the right choice or decisions in life regarding our friends, our relationships, especially choosing our spouse. Most important, choose and love our spouse. But first of all, is to choose to love God, who's the source of all the things that we have. And number five, baggage. When you go to the airport, you have baggage. When you go on a trip, you have baggage. You open the bag up and you get the luggage and just stuff everything in there. Some of us stuff it so much that if you just pull a zipper a little bit, it'll just poof and go all over the place. It's like that sometimes you see people especially border security. Some of the stuff these people bring and they eat and it stinks, man. It's enough to make you vomit. I have to turn my head because sometimes I'm eating while I'm watching that and I'm thinking, pickled chicken feet or something, man, whatever it is. I've just enough to make you gag. Or an egg that is like 100 years old. You got to be joking, man. Have an egg salad sandwich. Got to be joking. what was this? What? I'll put that down. Did you want to give a testimony? Anyone else? Does anyone here eat old eggs? I didn't think so. Honey, there are things that are here that I haven't tried yet. But there's one thing I never thought I would eat is a witchetty grub. Oh, my God. And it was cooked. And it tastes like chicken. And I asked for another piece. They're good. Have you tried it? Try it sometime. You can see Steve out in his garden looking right now. Do you remember that time? They had the Aboriginal fellas cooking and doing this, whatever they were doing. I forget where it was. And they were offering witchetty grubs raw or cooked. And I chose counsel. I chose to have the cooked one. Anyway, let's move on. Baggage. You know, all that we have is a blessing. And, you know, it, going through this life, we collect things. And, you know, baggage all the time is not just like bags or baggage that you take to, you know, luggage that you bring where you're going on a trip. Stuff that you put in your house, stuff you put in your fridge, stuff that you pack in the garage, stuff that you put all over in the little nooks and crannies of your house. And there's more and more and more that starts accumulating as time goes on. Isn't that true? The older we are, the more we find out, and the more we have to get rid of stuff. So sometimes we're carrying baggage that needs to be sort of like revamped. We don't need this anymore, or it's a little bit too heavy, especially when you go to the airport. You got to take a couple things out, or you pay a fine to put the extra on. It happens everywhere. So we have to realize is that we all have opportunities to fill our lives up with things that God has given us. But there comes times with the baggage that we're collecting and these things that we have collected is to take a look at it and ask God, what can I do with this? Are there things that I can bless somebody with? Sometimes it's finances. You can bless somebody with finances. You can take them out to eat. You can give them something like a free ticket to the movies or something. Or there's something that you want to bless. People don't do it, like, I don't think a whole lot. Maybe they do here, I don't know. But in the States, there are people that give cars away. It's just extra luggage. They want to get rid of the stuff in their garage. I'm just saying that. Not that we have to do that. That's just an example that I know of. But whatever it is, there's things that we receive that we have to maybe take account of, look at it and say, God, is there an opportunity I can bless somebody with this? Or just unload it because it's too much. So as we give, we lighten the luggage that we're carrying. And as we give, there's one thing, and I can remember Marianne's dad. My parents would do the same thing, but he said it. Leonard said it. The more I give, the more God gives me. And he just kept on lavishing all of his life. And we benefited from that as well. And now our kids are benefiting from it as well. And now our grandkids and our great-grandkids will be doing the same. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We had a good day this morning, I think. Did we? Basic lessons. Go home and read 2 Kings chapter 7 and tear it apart and put yourself in there and just see what God, the explanation that some of the things that God wants to explain to you for this week and some of the things you might be facing. Amen. There's no musico? Okay. That's all right. I'll just close in prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, this morning, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice, Father God, and be glad. We rejoice, Father God, with the joy that isn't dictated to by what we have or don't have, things that we have or things that are taken away. But Lord, your joy is constant because you're never changing. You're always the same, Lord. And what you give us through that joy is everlasting joy so that we can joy and enjoy it, and we can rejoice when something is taken away and you give it back to us. So we want to give you praise and glory for this morning, for the worship, our time with you, Lord God, for our fellowship after this service, and for as we walk with you, Lord God, during this week, that we'll know, Father, that you're walking with us hand in hand. In Jesus' precious name, amen.